Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Double Cleanse Podcast.
Hi.
My name's James Welsh.
My name's Robert Welsh.
And we sound the same. So listen out for tiny differences.
Listen out for that nasal difference.
So this is our first episode, official episode. Yeah. We kind of went on a bit of a tangent last time.
We got carried away.
We got carried away. We went out of control. We owe you all an apology.
Yeah, that'll be public somewhere else some other time.
Yeah, public apology. We'll sit on the floor and record it.
How are you doing?
You know what? I'm actually fine. I'm recovering from a bit of a, not nasty chest infection, but a chest infection in general.
Well, they're never not nasty, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, like, I feel absolutely fine, but because I have asthma, it's been a bit of a struggle. Yeah, it's just a bit annoying, but other than that, it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine.
Absolutely fine.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just trying to not be lazy.
Yeah, so you've just become freelance, haven't you? So you've just started working, doing YouTube full time.
Well,
whereas
yeah,
I've been, yeah, and I've been like freelance working from home for about 3 years now. So nothing changes.
It's so like easy to just be like, I have this whole list of things to do today, but what am I doing tomorrow? So I might as well just do it tomorrow.
Just do it then.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's I'm really trying hard not to, but you
it's
know what?
It's tough. Yeah.
And there's always this feeling of, oh, I should be doing something. I should really be doing something.
That's a problem.
You're
we don't have a job.
For yourself. Yeah.
We don't have a job where you can clock off in the evening. It's a bit difficult to actually stop. This is why I want to get a work phone. I want to get that flippy Galaxy. Is it
I
Galaxy
want a work phone?
That folds in half.
I was thinking it would be such good because I find myself at like I've got into bed, I'm ready to go to sleep, and I quickly just roll over and I pick up my phone, and then I'm on Instagram replying to comments.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to bed now.
Yeah.
Like I need to stop. Yeah. I need to turn off, but I can't not turn off, switch off, you know what I mean?
Switch off, yeah. It is tough.
It's tough. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Robert. As you know, this podcast, we're just going to talk about what we love the most, which is makeup and skincare.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular you really like makeup related recently that you want to share with
everyone?
At
the moment, listen, so I'm in a predicament because I...
What's that? What's going on?
So I'm being, in my mind, I'm being very wasteful. Not really wasteful. Here, you tell me what you think. So there's a brand called Besame Cosmetics.
Right.
Which I don't know if you've seen them.
No, never
heard. Post album. They basically, it's like a brand that make like vintage makeup, like vintage looking, vintage packaging.
Oh.
I have their Sleeping Beauty palette.
Yes.
Which I showed you, that one.
Yeah.
And it's this amazing palette that is in, it's in front of me right now, actually. It's on my desk and it's got like a velvet, I know people don't like velvet.
Oh, it's like
cushion.
A cushion, isn't it?
And it has a casing around it. So here's my thing. I really like the brand. And now I'm like, I'm not using it. I don't touch this palette because it's so like visually stunning. Like, I'm
you don't want to touch
that.
It.
Do I buy another one I can use? Or is that ridiculous?
Well, I bought you that one.
I paid you back.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah, sure.
You can buy me the other one.
No, I'd rather not.
That would be really nice of you, James.
Well, can you wait until Christmas?
Me.
Well, then just get yourself the other one. Listen,
is that one thing.
It's stupid, but if you have the money to do it and you've been working hard and you can afford it. This is the thing, like, you're not someone who just uses makeup like willy-nilly. You're a makeup artist and you collect makeup as well, so if that's something you want to do,
you collect it. I'm so hard on myself, I really am.
But it comes with like a book, doesn't it? It's got like a book.
There's a book. Disney let them into the archives and they picked all the colors from, you know, from
the actual film,
Sleeping Beauty film, the original. Ooh. So it's really sent. I will pass it down to my grandchildren.
You're not having grandchildren, what are you talking about? But you love Disney. You spent half your life there working, right?
I did.
Love the makeups. So it's two things you really, really love. And it would be wasteful if you don't actually use it. So buy one you're going to use.
That's true. That's me, though. I just love that brand. And the creator of it has also made a really amazing book that's like the history of makeup. So in depth and so in detail. Even if you don't like, you're not like a big makeup user, but you just like beauty, it's a really good thing to look at.
Interesting to
How about you, James?
Well, listen, here's my problem at the moment.
Oh, we both have problems today.
We both have issues. This is a really big issue. I'm so disappointed in America at the moment.
Oh, because that's a bold statement.
They have everything out. Like skincare wise, like I'll do like fill a basket up on a website.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, US shipping only. And it's really, really annoying. Yeah. And at the moment, I'm really into pimple patches that are in different shapes.
Right. This is
right.
And this is a must.
Real problem. This is a real issue. So, you know, they all do the same thing. They're all made out of pretty much exactly the same thing.
Right.
But, you know, whilst they're on my face, I mean, as well, make a big deal out of them being on my face. And you get like star ones, you get like gold ones, you get hearts, you get like little cannabis leaf ones, like really cute little like holographic ones as well. But you have to live in America to get them. And I'm just
there's
livid.
Some things that the world really needs to sort out so everyone can just get on with their lives.
Yeah, like like international shipping
being one of them. Yeah. Well, James, I hope your dreams come true.
They will do. It's mainly the Starface brand that I've talked about on my channel that they come in like a really cute little
oh, I've seen that, and it looks like a Lego head almost. Have you contacted the are they an independent brand?
Kind of, but not really. Yeah, they
are. Have you contacted them and been like, can you just ship it and I'll
pay? I mean, that's how I got this. I was like, is there any way I can pay you and then you can send over? And they were like, we'll just send you one. And I was like, okay, thank you. But now they do, these are just yellow, but they do like little holographic stars and colourful ones as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're an amazing brand. And it's just, you know, as you can imagine, it's such a big deal.
And at such a stressful time, I couldn't think of anything worse to happen to you, James.
Right, I know. So, sympathy. Thank you, everyone.
Well, now we've got that off our chest.
Yeah, yeah. This whole thing, that we're not going to be talking about COVID, but this whole thing like really does make you like appreciate like little things that you think are really important are actually just really not important at all.
Like Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Like I want my hangers, my clothes hangers tomorrow.
But you're going to be fine without them.
It's true.
You know?
It's very true. And it really shows, I was thinking this yesterday as well, it really shows who are key workers, which is such a statement at the moment, who they actually are and how underappreciated and underpaid they are.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment and let's put aside international shipping for a minute. And
I don't know if I can.
paying people the right amounts of money.
Well, that's what I'm hoping comes from this, is obviously like key workers, people that we didn't think were key workers, like not think were key workers, but we didn't even consider like how the logistics of their jobs work. Like lorry drivers, like people who work in like the Amazon warehouse, like even Deliveroo, Uber Eats drivers, you know, these are people that at the moment are actually holding the world together, and they deserve so much more money. But that's it. That's all we're going to touch on. That's it about that then.
Perfect. Well, what are we talking about today on this episode?
Speaking about Starface, actually, and I guess it's kind of related, today we are going to be talking about the problem with pimples.
Yes.
Yes, and the fact that there really isn't one. But today we kind of want to talk about, go through quite a few topics, our experience with spots and acne. We want to talk about like the products that we used back then and how it was different. We're relatively old in comparison to some people. So we're in our 30s.
We are a few generations older than some of the people who follow us.
Yeah. So what a lot of people have access to nowadays, we didn't have back when we were teenagers. So we want to talk about what we had to use back then and what we actually had available and how, kind of how that's changed and what's available today. But we also want to touch on how acne is portrayed both in advertising, on social media, through influencers, and talk a little bit about acne positivity or acne neutrality. I don't know if that's a word.
Neutrality. You guys know what we mean. And also like skin texture in general.
Yeah. We could talk about a few tips as far as like what we do with breakouts when that comes to skincare and makeup and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So over on our Instagram account, it's at the Double Cleanse Podcast. We're going to ask like a weekly question that's going to kind of relate to the next upcoming episode. And we asked you guys, do you prefer to see real skin in advertising, pores, pimples, wrinkles, etc., or do you like more of an airbrushed finished? Do you like finished?
Luckily, Robert's in charge of the questions over there.
Lucky I'm in charge of reading, because you know me. I can read the dictionary backwards. And you know what? I was really surprised at the mixed response.
Well, this is the thing, is we haven't really discussed responses yet.
No judgy, no judge to anyone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No judgment.
Both sides are valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we were surprised at, like, that there was kind of a counter argument, but we will talk about this a bit later.
Yeah.
So it was kind of 50-50, wasn't it? Like, people liked seeing real skin, and a lot of people liked a retouched finish.
And then some people commented about how they see both sides as well. I just wanted to, before we get into this quickly, I just want to talk about things like Instagram retouching. I once did, a while back, I like made a promise to myself. I was like, I'm not going to retouch my pictures as much because it's makeup, it's all this kind of stuff. You know, it has to look real. And then one time, it's not on my Instagram anymore because it was up for like 2 hours. I put up like an unretouched picture.
Mm.
And everyone was like, oh, I don't like this. This isn't... I was like, shit. That's my face.
Oh my God, you look like crap.
Yeah, so I took it down. And I was like, okay, so maybe it's not actually appreciated as much. Should we... I mean, my personal opinion on retouching and things like that, I find I am in two minds. I 100% believe like that we should be more realistic in advertising.
Yeah.
I think advertising is something that's different to personal standards.
Yeah.
If you want to face tune your picture because you're on the beach and you're like, oh, actually, my arm looks like it's bent funny.
Mm.
You know, you can redo that. But I think when it's advertising and selling a product, I think that's when it becomes a little bit of an issue.
Yeah. So this is like, I have that series on my YouTube channel called Instagram versus Reality. That is like inspired by the Reddit forum where people post pictures of basically badly face tuned pictures. Mm. And my stance on it, I'm not doing it to expose people or to say what this is wrong. Like, this is wrong. I'm just doing it to show what you can do and what people are doing to make people aware of what's possible.
Exactly.
And I don't necessarily think filters and stuff are a bad thing. What bothers me is when influencers use it in a paid for campaign. Or, for example, if me, a skincare influencer, was to filter my videos when I'm talking about the effectiveness of skincare.
It would be a lie.
It would be a lie. And I think that's where the issue comes in. Even if it's a non-sponsored video, which... like 99% of my videos are, I still feel like it would be a lie to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then I'm not saying people shouldn't do it, but I am saying when you're advertising the benefits of something, whether it's paid for or it's your opinion, you shouldn't be blurring your skin to make it look good.
100%.
But then what do you think about, because I saw a James Charles video where he completely did his makeup and face tune. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't think people realize to what extent, and like you just said, things can be edited. But even like when you were saying, I watched those videos that you did, and there were some things in there that I didn't even know was a thing. Mm. I didn't know you could change people's bodies in films. I didn't know you could do all that kind of thing.
Mm.
So I think I know an extent of editing when it comes to Photoshop, Facetune. Not that I use Facetune because I think it's annoying. Photoshop is what I do like skin on, if that makes sense.
Mm.
But I didn't, but some people don't know the extent, and it's not even editing, it's little things. Like we would wear contact lenses a lot in my videos, and some people thought that was my real eye color.
Mm.
And it's little things. It doesn't even have to be editing. It's maybe like manipulating your image that people don't realize the extent that it can go to.
Yeah.
Like on Photoshop, you can blend eyeshadow on Photoshop.
Yeah.
Easy. I could like block two colors next to each other and then edit that completely. Not that I have, because I actually do my makeup in real life.
Yeah.
But you can do the whole, not just draw it on, you can do really crap makeup.
Mm.
And then I saw a video and I can't remember who it was, and she basically did really horrible makeup on herself on purpose and then edited it. So it looked amazing.
Yeah.
And it looked real. It looked like all the images you see on Instagram. Mm. And so there is that in that case, it does give an unrealistic standard.
See, and that's where I'm in a bit of two minds about, because I think, for example, if you did this amazing look, right, on your eyes, and then you went into mm-hmm. Photoshop, you retouched your skin a little bit, you changed the lighting a little bit to emphasize this art that you've just done on your eyes,
I think
is different to then completely starting from scratch and changing the look completely.
Yeah, of course.
Because you're talking about your makeup on your eyes. I think if you were to be like talking about skin, it'd be completely different.
That's the thing. In certain lightings as well, like I've done a few videos on my YouTube channel where I show how much YouTube lighting or studio lighting can actually affect makeup. And even if you're doing like a job on a shoot, you have to bear in mind the lighting, like how much lighting is there. Mm. Are you in real lighting? Are you in artificial lighting? But like there's been times where I've used a pitch dark black on my eyes and you take a picture and it's grey.
Because of the lighting.
Yeah, because of the lighting. And it's like, well, now that's not the image. That's not the look I was trying to portray.
So you then have to change
maybe
it.
Maybe darken it a tiny bit. But I wouldn't draw on it and I wouldn't change it. And I wouldn't, do you know what I mean? It's things like that. But, yeah.
But then I always talk about this as well in terms of like advertising. For me, if I was to see a picture of a touched up model skin-wise, I do disagree with changing body size and body image, because I think first of all, there's nothing to change. Do you know what I mean? Like manipulation is about correcting temporary imperfections, and like the size of your body is an imperfection. So if I was to see like a Calvin Klein advert, for example, and the skin was retouched, that wouldn't bother me, because I'm not looking at that brand to advertise beauty to me. I'm looking at the brand to advertise a pair of jeans. But if I was to then look at like who have I got in front of me, like a Paula's Choice advert, and they completely retouch this person's skin and they're advertising like a spot cream, then I'd be like, that person's never had spots in their life, or that's obviously fake skin. I'm not saying Paula's Choice do that. I think they're actually quite good with advertising. An example of something. But for me, I think coming from an advertising background might be different, but for me, it completely depends in what situation that's been used. But then I also think transparency is important as well.
Yeah,
I think if you use the filter, I think you should say.
Yeah. Do you think then, I think, obviously because you have that history in editing and things like that, it's easy for you to spot when something's been edited. Do you think everyone is like that? Do you think everyone can spot like, oh, actually that nose has been retouched, or that eyebrow isn't real?
Well, I would have thought so. Before I started doing that video series where I kind of point this stuff out, I would have thought so. But a lot of things that I find obvious and a lot of the things I look for, people didn't even know was a thing. So things like broken pixels, blurred pixels, like the fact that nobody looks like that, for example. Do you know what I mean? Like repetition of certain pores on the skin where they've dragged good skin onto bad skin, stuff like that. But I do think it's something people are becoming more aware of. But whether the fact or not that if you disclose you're using a filter would change anything, I don't know, because people still see that filter and they're like, oh, that's what
I think it I think it's really the amount of times, like, I get a lot of really nice comments saying, oh, you have really, really nice skin. And like, it is genuinely insane amount of makeup in front of camera, and also I would remove a blemish before I post a picture on Instagram. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like a psychological thing where part of some people actually want to ignore that and be like, actually, no, this person has really good, this is how I want my skin to look, like skin goals, you know, makeup goals. And it's like, no, but that isn't, it isn't real. But some people still want it to be a reality in a way,
even though nowadays we're, most of us are so clued up to filters and stuff like that. And the fact that I guess so, but then I think that, like, I think people, even though we keep saying it, maybe people aren't as aware of what's possible and what's going on. Like, for example, you look at like Nikki Tutorials, who I absolutely love, by the way. I watch her videos and I think she's hilarious, but her skin on Instagram looks perfect. She's got really good skin in real life, but as with many makeup artists, actually, she does that thing where she kind of like blurs and adds texture to the skin, so it looks almost real and flawless. And obviously she's wearing makeup as well, but it has that look of reality to it. And even sometimes,
wait, so
I'm like, how
her
she
pictures
done
on Instagram
that?
Are they, is it, do you think they're quite edited then, for example?
Heavily.
Oh really?
But I think she's admitted,
I'm like, oh my god, I just thought she was perfect. No. See, there's me doing it.
No, they're
editing. You know, I edit every picture that goes on my Instagram is edited. Not insanely but you know, like I'll remove a spot if it's there.
Well, this is the thing, is but, I edit some pictures, but if you go through my Instagram, you'll see when I'll say what if a filter's been used, if it's been heavily photoshopped. But I tend to not do it, and obviously because of my photography background, I know good lighting and how to make the most of the lighting.
Course. But
there's a quote, and I said this in one of my videos, and I can't remember if it's by who's that photographer? The one with the hair.
A woman or man?
Man, 70s, not 70s. Was it 70s?
Andy Warhol.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He was an artist.
Oh, no, not Andy Warhol. Hang on, who was it? No, it was Andy Warhol, I think.
Mario Badescu?
No, it's Andy Warhol. He did some photography. He was asked once if he removes pimples or if he like paints in pimples and stuff. He was like, no. He was asked if he got rid of them. He was like, of course I get rid of them, because they're not a true representation of who you are. They're only a temporary flaw on your face.
Right.
Flaw being his word. Which is true, because I look like, if there's a spot on my face, it's only going to be there for a bit. So then there's those two minds of like, do you remove it because that's right, it's not a true representation of who you always are, but do you leave that spot in because it's like, actually, this is real, like everyone gets a spot.
It's a representation of human skin.
Of human skin.
And what happens to absolutely every person. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing as well, I think everyone like focuses on especially, let's say, influencers, models, or ever having perfect skin. But then I was thinking about it the other day, and now I'm full time on YouTube, and I think you do the same. I have a day where I will record all my videos, and then I will get spots afterwards.
Yeah.
But my goal in myself is to then look after my skin and heal that until the next Tuesday.
That's exactly what I do. So I film every Tuesday like you do.
Yeah.
And I always get comments saying like, oh, your skin looks so good, blah, 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 blah. Which at the time, all those other days. And that's why I post it on Instagram stories and stuff, because I will break out. It just so happens that like, that's when my skin's okay. But maybe because at the weekend I look after my skin a fair bit. But then there are also those days where I'm filming and I'm like, right, I've got a spot, I've got a rosacea flare up, but I still need to film. Yeah. And then I'll get comments on my videos that like, whatever your product you're using, stop using it. Like, your skin doesn't look so great today. It's like, I'm allowed to have bad skin.
Yeah.
And the reason I know all these like products work for me is because I do break out and I do
and
get
in
bad
fact,
spots.
Your skin that day probably actually looks better than it has been the past two, 3 days.
Yeah,
Should we look at some of the responses we got to our question?
Yeah, so remind us of the question again.
So it was, do you prefer in advertising realistic skin, like wrinkles, pimples, blemishes, everything like that, or do you prefer more of an airbrushed finish? And there's a comment here, and this is quite, I think it's a good point.
Yeah.
It says, to be honest, I prefer more airbrushed. I know the product won't give me the result, but it's more an aesthetic. Sorry, I can't pronounce that word. What do you think of that?
I don't mind airbrush stuff, skin, etc., when it comes to like jewelry adverts, when it comes to sunglasses adverts, even when it comes to hair, like as long as like the hair's not being crazy retouched and they worked on the skin, it doesn't bother me. What I think I'm after more nowadays, like back then when I was really into photography and I was studying it, I loved looking at the overall picture as a piece of art. So I'd look at it and think about the lighting, I'd think about the angles and how the retouching work had been done.
Yeah.
But nowadays, now that I'm out of that industry, really I'm more into skincare, what I'm more interested in is actual results, if that makes sense. So it's not necessarily that I need to see someone with a breakout for me to think the product's truthful.
Yeah.
What I'm more interested in is how the skin looked first and then what the product did for the skin.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to see crazy retouched model with a bit of cream on her face pretending that she uses it.
Like, oh my God, and I'm so happy I've found this.
Yeah, I'm so happy I found this cream with like, what, placenta in.
Yeah,
well, I think, and that's why I think YouTube has become like such an important source of information for a lot of reviews, is because you can get to see a lot of before and afters on YouTube. Yeah, there's a lot of fake sponsorships too.
So that was one of the comments that I can't find it now, but I read it yesterday and it was something like, unretouched and I want to see the product after use, not a model pretending she's used it, which is so true. And we have this thing in advertising where it's like 57% of women agreed. Where are those women?
Also, how many women were tested? That's
exactly
the thing. It could be two. Like, when you say 50%, it could be one of those two. Another term is dermatologist tested. Like, but what did they think of it?
Yeah.
Like, do you mean, like...
As a whole image, the person who commented that, as a whole image, like I was saying when I posted that image of that was unretouched, and everyone was like, what? I don't like it. Are we more, do you think we're more prone, not prone, but do you think we're naturally more attracted to things that are, of course, like, perfected?
Yeah.
And that's why some people prefer, so I saw another comment just then saying, like, why is this a debate? But it could be a debate because people prefer, in quotes, perfection over, in quotes again, imperfection.
It's just being human. Like, we like nice scenery. We like nice cinematography in films. We like, for like, nice album work. You know, when CDs used to be a big thing, we'd like, check out the album work. That's why a lot of people will pick skincare based on packaging. Do you know what I mean? Like, course, we are people who like aesthetically pleasing things. And I think when it comes to skincare, though, like, we're trying to, like, the people want that to change because it's not realistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's where, like, it gets a bit kind of like, because back then, like, I think it aligns as well with people's knowledge and how advertising works. So, like, if you look back at adverts from the 50s, it's like, you'll be the perfect wife in the kitchen with this cream, with Pond's and cold cream.
Cigarettes.
And these cigarettes. Do you know what I mean? And now we look at those adverts and we're like, first of all, sexist. Second of all, like, that's complete bullshit. Like, that's why there are advertising standards. You know, as to what you can say your product does. And, you know, there are, like, ways brands go around that. But I think the more we learn about photography, the more we learn about science, the more we learn about ingredients, the more we learn about models, all that kind of stuff, the more advertising is changing.
Yes, very true.
And the more we want to see realistic stuff. And I also think that aligns with how much we trust the brand.
Do you think we can kind of choose now what kind of form of advertising we see? Like, we choose to look at Instagram, certain Instagram pages, we choose to look at YouTube, we choose to look at Facebook, the TV, whatever. Do you think it's possible to filter out the kind of advertising you don't like?
I don't think it's that broad yet. Do you know what I mean? I think, like, if you're looking at skincare, you're going to get all ends of the spectrum. If you're looking at makeup, you're going to get complete amateurs to professionals to, like, you know, makeup fan pages.
And we kind of get told what to look at as well, thinking about
it. We have a choice, but we don't. We're the government.
Have an Instagram account. Should we get everyone in? We would love to hear your opinions. Comment in the episode post, I guess we'll call it, of this episode. It'll be like episode one. Whatever this episode this is. Let us know in the comments below. Respect each other. Don't, like, you know, be like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, no opinion's right, no opinion's wrong. I think it completely changes. I think there's another thing as well as how we see skincare. For example, like, you know, your average kind of like Glossier customer. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
The Glossier, let's be honest, is made for people with good skin. Like,
it's made for people that already have perfect skin.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, I really want to wear makeup, but I actually have no need to.
So they're the kind of people that probably don't mind seeing these, like, retouch kind of things. And, and then there's people like us who have had acne in the past who I actually don't mind either way, but that's because of my educational background.
Of course.
I think I can look at a Photoshop picture and be like, it's Photoshopped, and take it for what it is.
Yeah.
But then you have that's the thing as well, is people don't understand, rightfully so, because it's not general knowledge, the extent that things can be retouched to.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
I don't think the problem is whether the picture's retouched or not. I think the problem is not disclosing that. For example, it's like when mascara adverts, you still use fake lashes, and now they all have to say false lashes have been used here, because it's false advertising.
It's the worst thing. It's like saying this is going to make it look perfect, but actually it's not the product at all.
Yeah, it's actually all a lie.
It's literally not the product.
Yeah, that's where I think it's a problem. Talking about advertising, we mentioned it, like the old advertising. When we were younger, you know, like Clearasil, Oxy, like Neutrogena, they were like the main, like, skincare brands, weren't they?
They were the main people, and all their adverts would be teenagers with no acne.
Disney having Channel a great stars, time. Yeah.
Or wearing, like, neutral colour, no, like, you know, a or solid colour t-shirt.
And jeans, yeah.
Or, like, on a bench, bopping up and down to hip hop.
Yeah, to popular rap music. But literally none of them had spots either. These were like gifted teenagers who had no problems with their skin whatsoever at that moment in time. And it wasn't a true reflection of what we were going through. Yeah. But obviously being young, we bought all these products.
100%, because you thought it would work, because they didn't have acne. Not that they ever did. Or they would have, like, a really bad, like, this was me before, and then I'd have, like, a really bad spot, and then it would disappear, and then I'll be drinking Sunny Delight at a skating ramp.
Yeah, before it was removed for having too much sugar. But yeah, so me and Rob actually do have a bit of, like, history with spots as far as that goes. Like, I have a whole video on it. But we used to have quite bad... I mean, the breakouts weren't so bad, but it was... Well, they were for you. For me, it was more about picking them.
It was insane. Like, and I don't know what it was. Like, my forehead was covered. I remember I'll get really painful ones on, like, my lip. Cheeks not so... Well, cheeks a little bit. But it would be, like, big ones, small ones, really sore ones, under the skin. But I think... You know what, though? Back then, I didn't even think it was as much of as bad as it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think we were, like, massively bothered by it. And I think it was such a common thing within our year group as well. That, like, you know, it wasn't something people ever picked on for in our school.
It was kind of just something that happened. Like, unless somebody has severe acne, someone was bound to say something. But it wasn't like... it didn't ruin my confidence or my, you know, life at that time or that point. But we had some... I think about the products that we used. And we had... Right. Do you remember...
Those two.
Go on. You remember Oxy?
I remember Oxy.
Are they still around?
They are still around.
So there was like... They were like nose pore shirts, but you had to make them yourself. Do you remember?
I remember them.
So there was like a clear kind of like... it was like a clear, how do you describe it, like very thin plastic,
right?
And it would be slightly textured, and then you would have this liquid, and then you'll put that liquid onto it and then stick it on your nose and then peel it off when the liquid dried. Do you not remember?
Why don't I remember? All I remember from Oxy was their pads,
like their peeling pads. Oxy pads, oh my god.
But
it was a similar thing in terms of a product stung. It stung the face. It felt like it was acid. But at the time, it was like, oh my god, this! I'm cleaning my skin because
it's
my skin's coming off.
Yeah, it's working. All my oils are stripped away.
Yeah, exactly. It was just the products that we had were the worst. And then it was
Clean and Clear blackhead
cleanser
toner thing, which is actually looking back is salicylic acid and a lot of alcohol, but it seems like a very poorly formulated BHA. Do you mean like I wouldn't? That would be a product that I wouldn't pick up now.
You know what? I saw something recently. It's called astringent, isn't it? Or astringent.
Astringent. Yeah.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw something where they were like, if you haven't got hand sanitizer, go and buy this because it actually contains. And, like, ingredients that can sanitize your hands.
Oh, my God.
And that's something we used to put on our face.
Yeah.
So I don't know how true that is. Maybe don't Google it. Or maybe do Google it.
Just Google it, but don't do anything about it.
Yeah. But even still, even if not, it felt like it. It felt like it was, like,
oh, my God. And that's the thing as well, is it gives you that squeaky clean feeling, that tight feeling, which is such a bad sign.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people think acne comes from being dirty or, like, which it doesn't. That's not how acne works.
No,
or not clean.
Yeah.
So we used to over scrub. We used to scrub and clean our faces thinking it would help with acne. And it didn't, but prescription wise Zinaret, which is a mainly zinc based product, and we used to use something called Quinoderm, which I can't remember if it was prescribed to us or if we just bought it.
I think it was prescribed, I can't remember, but that was awful. Yeah, that Quinoderm.
It's benzoyl peroxide, which is like what a lot of people get prescribed for acne. But it would dry out our skin, wouldn't it? It would stain our clothes, get those orange patches on everything,
like bleach, almost like bleach was on our clothes. That Zinaret though, it was almost like a roll-on deodorant, wasn't it?
And it would
dry up your skin. It smelled like pickled onions.
It was
the worst, and you wash it off. Did you ever think any of it actually helped?
I think it was like a bit of like a good and a bad, because I think it dried out our spots, but our skin type, we were left with so much bad scarring, dark spots and all that kind of stuff, that it got rid of the acne. I think Quinoderm, actually, I remember using Quinoderm on small breakouts as well after, and I did quite like it, but it did really dry out our skin. I wouldn't use it now, because if I dry out my skin, I get a dark spot on my face, which I then takes months to get rid of.
Exactly.
So I think it worked, but it was a quick fix. I feel like nowadays, there's other products I would use other than that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if I get a breakout now, I'm not going to put benzoyl peroxide on my face, personally.
No, absolutely.
I'm going to use something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is nowadays there's so many amazing things, like pimple patches, I think are some of the most, like, some of the best inventions
it's
ever.
It's literally a quick fix that actually works.
It does.
It really, really does work. Mm. Like, that's one product where I could be like, I would guarantee, like, actually guarantee it's going to work.
This is like, I did a post with Zit Sticker, a video, and I mentioned how one Zit Sticker literally got rid of my underskin spot overnight. And I never say that, but within 12 hours, that was gone. And someone in the comments was like, interesting review. However, you don't have to exaggerate the results. And I was like, no, honestly. Like, I don't know how to say this. Like, because it's got micro darts in it. And I never say like stuff like that about products, but it was so, so good. I was actually shocked about it. And that's why it took me so long to do that review, because I wanted to give it another go.
Can you imagine if we had that back in the day, we would be so happy with the results. It'd be spot free. It'll be quick.
Yeah. But that's the thing as well, is like the spot treatments that we used to have back then were terrible. It's literally like a tea tree stick or a witch hazel stick. Or, for example, Benefit Boo Boo Zap was literally just a drying out treatment. That was main ingredient was
Boo Boo Zap.
It's been discontinued though.
Has it?
Yeah.
Like, it's crap, really.
Because, I mean, it was good, but it's probably not the best for you. Mm. And I think it's just because the main ingredient was alcohol. Because, like, it's never usually the top ingredient, but it was there to literally dry out your skin. But, like, the stuff we have now, the better formulations they have, things like BHAs and AHAs. Which a lot of people were correct in saying that they were around back then. But, yeah, they were in things like Clean and Clear. Do you know what I mean? Like, you didn't see really nice, well-formulated chemical exfoliating toners. Again, pimple patches we talked about. Roll-on spot treatments. You know, there was so much. And that's another thing now, is that I don't think there's a lot of adult acne targeted products back then. Whereas I feel like spot treatments have become a general product rather than something aimed at teenagers.
I always used to have this concealer, and it was, one half was a spot treatment.
Oh my
and
the God.
The other half was concealer.
Concealer.
Do you remember?
I swear that was like Boots Own Witch Hazel like line.
Yeah, I feel like that completely is not the purpose of it. How do you feel about why am I asking you this about like makeup on top of acne breakouts or blemish breakouts?
This is the thing, is like there's some really good brands that have like that fine line between makeup and skincare, which is kind of interesting, like good makeup. But I have to be honest, I don't really know, like, the science behind it. I think a lot of people are worried about silicones, which have been proven not to basically clog your pores and things like that. Like, it's a bit of a misconception as far as certain silicones go. But I don't know, because I've never used makeup to cover up, if that makes sense.
So, do you feel like skincare and makeup can be the problem of breakouts and be the problem of... Because there's been times where, like, now, for example, I'm having this extreme, like, breakout on my skin, like, I haven't really seen for a long, long time. It almost looks like chicken pox on my forehead. Like, it's gone down a little bit now, but a few days ago I was filming, I was in front of a camera, and I was like, I can't look at that, because it was, I haven't seen my skin like that for a long time.
Yeah, you did just rub your hands all over your forehead then.
I
you were talking
did.
About it.
I just did as well. What was I gonna say? Do you think skincare then can be a, because I'm like, what's caused this? And there's two new things that I'm using that I'm like, maybe it's that. Do you think that has a big role?
Well, it depends, because like obviously you can purge from certain products, so products that are gonna like target cell turnover, things like that. So exfoliating products, like some active ingredients can give you like a purging time period where it obviously brings stuff to the surface, and then you kind of have to wait like a good 4 weeks to see whether it was purging or if you are having a reaction to that product. There have been products that's almost given me like a spotty rash. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think one thing, this is very personal, but one thing I've learned to do, if I've got a spot, just to leave it alone.
Let it do its
like,
thing.
Like pop a pimple patch on it and like go to bed and like let it do its thing, rather than thinking, right, now I've got to use this product and I've got to... But yeah, I think breaking out from products is very common when you're using new stuff. Sometimes I feel like it's a good sign if it is like, it should happen with chemical exfoliators. Do you know what I mean? Because that means like the cell turnover is doing what it needs to do. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, this is, my skin's just not enjoying this product. One thing I get as well is like people ask me questions about makeup and I don't know why, because that's your thing. But a lot of people are like, does makeup clog pores? Like, should I not wear makeup? And like, to be honest with you, I don't know, because sometimes I feel like there's no reason why it should. But then you might have a bit of a reaction to...
It depends. So there's a key word in, especially like foundations and concealers, face products, comedogenic. Is the word you're looking for. So you want a foundation or something like that. It means it doesn't clog pores, basically. Non-comedogenic.
Well, this is something that is a bit of an issue in skincare, because those studies come from testing products within a rabbit's ear.
Oh.
Yeah, so obviously the pores in a rabbit's ear are way bigger than humans. So if you're going to use a product on something, it's going to clog their pores. It wasn't tested on a human. So non-comedogenic is a bit of like a, well, does that really mean anything? There's, but it is a good indication.
In makeup, there's in vitro testing. So there's
that's in skincare too,
on human skin. So if they can do it on human skin, it's great. But if that's something we're taking into consideration, clogging pores, it's almost down to then... your cleansing.
Yeah.
Because it's about removing that makeup properly. If you leave your makeup on all day, you sleep with... There are still people out there that sleep with their makeup on. All this stuff that's building up under your foundation.
And if you remove it with a makeup wipe...
Yeah, same with a wipe. You haven't actually removed it properly. So, I mean, it's our skin. We should be taking really good care of it. And if you think it's something that's breaking it... If you think makeup foundation is ruining your skin... First of all, I mean, think about your cleansing. That's what I always think. Think about how you're cleansing it first. And then think about the ingredients. I know for me, some more affordable foundations break me out. Because there's maybe certain ingredients that they use in them that they won't use in more expensive ones. Not saying that cheaper makeup doesn't necessarily make your skin worse. It isn't necessarily bad for your skin. Non-brand... makeup, like you get like the dollar store or pound shop, that's when you have to be really careful, because they can put anything in it, you know. But but like drugstore brands, well-known brands, it isn't necessarily they're gonna make you break out. It really is your cleansing, and if you're allergic to certain ingredients. I know for me, silicones don't work on my skin. I get a really horrible itchy kind of rash from it, and I can tell when I've used something with it in, because it just makes me itch. I'm not sure why, but that's an ingredient a lot of people are allergic to. So silicones, mica, talc, things like that are really, really like not strong ingredients, but they react quite easily with people's skin.
Well, this thing as well, like spots within the hairline and beard line or eyebrow line is a common thing, because people don't wash the cleanser away. So if things like, if you are leaving like ingredients on your skin that shouldn't really be left on there, that can dry out your skin, like SLS, for example, and you're not rinsing it away, it could cause some irritation. Like I used to have this real issue with a shampoo that like was so difficult to wash out, and when I first started using it, was like thick. I don't know what it was. It was like, it was like a joke shampoo cream shampoo jelly, and I put it in my hairline, and when I first used it, it wasn't coming out, but I didn't realize I was getting all these spots around my hairline. So, and that's the same with skincare. If you're not rinsing away your cleanser properly and leaving it on your face, you could break out from that too, and that's something that I've experienced a fair bit as well.
Now you're saying that, I'm thinking about my I used a cleanser the other day, and I was just thinking, did I wash it off my... Because I always... You know when you wash your face, and you wash your face and kind of look in the mirror, and it's like, oh, it's for some reason all in my ears and around my hair. Did I wash it off? Let's talk about what I'm doing just then. And picking pimples.
It's
and picking out the skin.
As much as people say, don't pick, I say so many times, don't pick your spots, don't touch your skin. It is next to impossible. It's next to impossible.
It's so
like the urge to do it. And I think that's why pimple patches are so good, because you can physically stop yourself doing it.
You can't
it.
Touch it,
But you, like, I'll be like on my laptop and I don't even realize I'm touching my forehead.
Picking out a spot. I'm worried about a breakout, and I'm here picking them and trying to make them, I don't know. It's awful. I just did it again. I just fucking touched my forehead again.
It's very tough. I think it's impossible to do.
You need discipline.
Yeah, you need to have discipline.
But does it leave scars and things like that?
Yeah,
but
then of course.
It also opens your skin, and then if you're going to put makeup on, you know, it can leave like a slight wound on your skin. You're going to put makeup on, it's going to get all involved in that.
Yeah, like post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So when you've damaged your skin, whether that be from picking, whether you like scratch your face by accident, whatever, the dark spot that's left from that. So like that's like, I think when we were younger, our problem was we picked our spots a lot.
Yeah.
Or we had these products drying out our skin and basically damaging our skin was leaving these dark spots on our face.
Yeah.
So that is a real issue.
It's a real issue.
Listen, we had some points. We've kind of touched on it, but about how spots and acne is betrayed on advertising. But what about social media? Like, so one thing I really like is seeing just people using products like with real skin, and we were talking about the Starface brand. Their advertising campaigns have people with like really nice texture on their skin.
Yeah,
they have breakouts, they have like normal skin. And going back to what we're saying, I like that because you can see actual results from it. You can see people who actually need to use this product using the product. And that's where I think like we move on to social media as far as how advertising's
absolutely.
And It doesn't always have to be like the biggest social media influencer. Like it could be.
This is the thing. Every single image you post, if you reference a brand or a product, that's an advertisement to someone. There's loads of times where I've been tagged in something, they've used this and this and this, you know, inspired by a look I've done, and I've gone to look at all the brands and be like, oh my god, I've never heard of this. You're advertising, not that you're responsible for it, but you know, but everything is kind of a form of advertisement at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
You could be wearing something in a picture and someone could be like, oh my god, what's that? Oh, there's a plant in the background. You know,
yeah.
It's like everything is a form of advertising. There's one brand who, in terms of makeup, they're fine, but the way they kind of control their Instagram is very, for some people, would be very relatable, if that makes sense.
How do you mean?
So Revolution Makeup, who are an affordable kind of drugstore brand.
Oh, they're the ones that copy everyone.
They're the ones that copy absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
So, like, again, their makeup isn't so great and their ethics aren't so great. Mm. But, I mean, in their Instagram posts, it's very, very rare you're going to see a big influencer with a really nicely edited picture. You know, everything's perfection. They use a lot of pictures that their followers tag them in. So it's people just doing real makeup, real skin, aren't crazy editing, if any at all.
Yeah.
And it looks like real skin, because it is real skin. There's blemishes on there, there's pores, there's not in a horrible way, but there's not so perfect makeup techniques.
Yeah.
You know, there's like real people using makeup the way it should be used, and their skin, well, not so much their skin care, but you know, the way everything is used and the way people are actually going to use it.
Yeah.
So the way they're almost advertising, and you know, you can take their Instagram as a form of advertisement because it's advertising their products. I think they do it in a really realistic way. You can expect what you get in those pictures, because you're probably more than likely at the same level of, you know, makeup artistry, whatever, as a person in a picture.
Yeah.
So you can see how, you know, you're going to use it.
Real world results.
Exactly. That's it. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Real world.
So there's a couple of like Instagram profiles. We were talking about this like acne positivity or skin positivity in general, really, which is just like realism, I suppose. Like just being honest and real with the current state of your skin. There's one profile that I've like really sticks out for me. Sophia Gran, I think you pronounce her name. I can't pronounce her Instagram name. It's like isotretinoin with S or something. I don't know.
What?
yeah. Her profile is just amazing. She does all these amazing makeup looks, like zero retouching. Like she's got like breakouts on her cheeks. Well, she's got acne on her cheeks, and she says in her bio, trying to normalize acne one selfie at a time. And it's just nice to look at. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at the pictures and, like, she's got some breakouts on her cheeks. Her makeup's amazing. Like, she talks about skincare in certain areas. And there's nothing about these pictures that I look at, and I look at acne and I'm like, oh no, that's not the product for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like, and that's what I think, like, a lot of brands are coming around to, is that people do like seeing real world, real time results and real, like, not so much like huge campaign advertising that people can't relate to, basically.
I feel like the whole beauty industry in general is coming to this, whether it's later this year, early next year, this whole natural kind of aura, if that makes sense. Everyone's going to try and be a little bit more natural, a little bit less for this, for that, because I don't know, it just seems a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I just think everyone's over being lied to and being treated like idiots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, 100%. like we're not idiots. We know what people look like. We know what pores look like. We know what dark spots look like. You know, we know what stretch marks look like. Mm-hmm. We all, like, kind of know what real skin looks like. But then again, it is sometimes nice. I this is the thing. For skincare, I completely get it and I love it. For makeup, sometimes a bit like, oh, it's nice to see, like, this really nice kind of, like, artist interpretation of what beauty is to them.
So, yeah. So that's, I think, is another thing. In terms of makeup, if you're thinking of it as a form of, like, art, which a lot of people do, it's a whole image. It's a whole look. Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, when we've been on doing, like, shoots and things like that, it takes a whole team to create this look, and then you all wait for a finished result, which is post-production, which is editing, lighting, like, all this kind of stuff, and it's a whole image, and it's an artistic image.
Yeah.
Whether or not you can compare your smoky eye you're going to post on Instagram to an editorial magazine, but you know, it's a whole image. It's a concept people come up with. I think I can, you know, give or take there when it comes to makeup.
But that is the difference to me. Is like, in an editorial magazine, that's what you expect to see.
Yes,
you know, these models are models, and they're hired because they're, you know, models aren't always stereotypically pretty. Lot of people think is pretty.
Right.
You know, and that's what I mean, is like an art form. And that's what I would expect to see in a magazine.
Yeah.
What I expect to see from my skincare brands and influencers is everyday honesty.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. But even when it comes to influencers, again, you're advertising. If you're going to advertise a foundation, do you edit your skin or do you?
You shouldn't.
Not? You absolutely should.
I personally believe you shouldn't.
Yeah, I really don't think you should, because then it's, again, it's given a false. It's like that. It's like those lash extensions mascara. You can't pretend a product does something.
Yeah, I think as long as you say that you're using filters, say you have like this big influencers. I keep saying influenza. So you have this big.
That's a disease.
Yeah. Say you have this big influencers profile, right?
Yeah.
And say she's got a mix of really, like, aesthetically pleasing pictures, whether they've been photoshopped or whether he or she has spent ages doing this big kind of photo shoot on their own.
Yeah.
And then say they've got, like, these everyday pictures, everyday snaps, and then they got these adverts. I think that's absolutely fine. Like, if you say, you know, this is a nice picture, it's been edited and stuff, and then this is like another nice picture of me just with my dog. Here's my, you know, natural skin, no makeup.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely fine if you've got that good mix and your audience can tell and know when it's been how you look in real life, and then that you've spent a lot of time doing this other kind of like more artistic approach to what you think beauty is. I think that's absolutely fine. I think that's absolutely fine as long as you make it crystal clear. And that's what I like. I like about Instagram filters on the stories, even TikTok filters. I obviously wouldn't use them, but it says this image has been filtered. You see the filter of the name at the top.
Yes, exactly.
And like, obviously most of them are filtered because it's like you in space and you know, you're playing a banjo.
Exactly.
You know, it's not normal everyday situations, but I personally, that's all I would like to see is a disclaimer. And I just don't think it should be allowed at all within advertising. I think it's false advertising.
Yeah, I agree. Even a hashtag edited.
Even hashtag edited.
Really, my nose isn't like this.
Yeah, hashtag. Everyone does hashtag no filter. You could use just hashtag filter.
Listen, I just, you saying that, there was this, I can't remember who did it, but it was like celebrities with no makeup on. And it was like Eva Longoria and all these people. It's like, oh my God, they're so brave to have no makeup on. They have makeup on. Yeah. I need to find the post. I can't remember what it was. I remember looking at it like, so you're telling people there's no makeup on. And this is how they look. Perfect, even toned skin. And the only thing they hadn't done was removed like eye bags or removed like a line on the neck. Do you know what I mean? There's still makeup on it.
So they mean unretouched, basically.
They mean unretouched. Yeah. So I think an important kind of thing to get from this is looking online, not everything is exactly how it is. I think everyone, if you're looking at an influencer and you idolize them or you do whatever, you know, there's YouTube, you can see how their skin looks before they put makeup on, if that's their thing. You can, you know, don't look at everything and think that's reality. And then don't compare it to your reality, if that makes sense. Because it's not real. It's not reality. Even and advertisements, don't compare it to your reality, because it's a whole different thing.
That's what we were saying as well, is like, you don't know what they're going through the rest of the week. Like we were saying, we film on a Tuesday, for the rest of the week we break out. And I say this to people in my comments all the time, and one person was like, oh, I bet you don't break out. I was like, no, I really do. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, you can see that I do. So that's the thing, like, it's like all social media, people are presenting the best version of themselves to you. And that's why, like, I think it is important to be more open on other social media. Like, I promised myself I'd be a bit more open about like my breakouts and stuff over on Instagram. I haven't had a breakout yet, so I'm waiting for that. That will come. But you know, and I think it's easier said than done to not believe everything you see, because even though like you know things are retouched, you're still like, oh, that's nice, that's what I want.
It's like an unrealistic goal, but it looks like it could be achievable.
But like, that's the thing we do also have to remember, and that's why the profiles that are kind of like posting everyday skin unfiltered, I think, are so important to be following. One tip actually that I have, especially on Instagram, if you're looking at profiles that are constantly filtering their skin, it is making you bad, just unfollow them. I know it sounds really stupid, but unfollow them. Like, if it's making you feel bad about yourself and you're constantly looking at it, just unfollow.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was
a really long conversation.
That's a really long conversation. Let's finish this up. James, what are your kind of top tips, skincare-wise, for dealing with blemishes, outbreaks, things like that?
So for me, one of the main tips is prevention. Pimple patches, you don't have to get the best, highest quality with micro darts. You can literally go into Amazon and buy these really basic pimple patches. Prevent you from picking your spots. That's the one thing that really, really I think is important. So the moment you get a spot, like literally the moment, pop a pimple patch on, leave it. Like, don't touch your skin. My other tip for spots is not to dry them out. A lot of spot treatments will dry out your spots, and that's what they're aimed to do. It's because they have a lot of alcohol in. So just use your everyday products. Maybe use a little bit of AHA on your spot, a little bit of BHA on your spot. Again, then let it dry, put a pimple patch over it. But I personally wouldn't go out and like buy all these crazy direct spot treatments and aggravate and dry out your skin. And that's it, really. That's what I'm doing personally. And I feel like the bigger the deal you make out of your spot, the longer they last. So I would literally just say pimple patch up. And then even drop down your routine a little bit. If you are having a severe breakout, cleanse, hydrate, moisturize, keep it at that. Robert, what are your top makeup tips?
I think similar to what you just said, tone it down a bit, take out some products. If you're someone who bakes their whole face, get rid of that. Let's try and keep to like one layer. Be careful of what primers you're using. If you're using primers, stay away from ingredients that are going to irritate, that you know irritate, or just cut it back almost like caveman style or cavewoman style. Just like a tiny bit of everything really helps. In terms of hiding them, don't go crazy with color correctors. Again, just a foundation. Although it's tempting to keep adding product and cover, sometimes the more you cover something, the more obvious it looks. Treat your skin with respect when it comes to a breakout. Makeup isn't a necessity. It's definitely something that we all like to use and something you can use while you're breaking out. Just make sure you're not using it on broken skin. Make sure you're being sensible with it. Cut it back. Mm. Bring it back to basics.
Yeah. Remember, it's something we all go through as well.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. I don't know one person who hasn't broke out in their life. So, and absolutely. You know what? At the end of the day, like, you're probably more worried about it than other people are looking at you.
Oh, I think that's one.
Yeah, like, yeah. Literally couldn't care. But yes, I think that was it.
Mm. That's one thing I was going to say really quickly. Whenever I had, like, clients who would have, they'll be like, oh my god, I'm so sorry about the state of my skin. It's not you. It's like, I don't know you. I don't know your face. The skin looks absolutely fine.
Mm.
Start judging yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
We always go off on a tangent, don't we?
Yeah, come yeah. with us.
So we'll answer more questions next time. Like, not more questions, but we'll look at more comments next time.
Now I mean, they were all pretty much, all the kind of comments on in reply to the questions were real. Mm.
Yeah,
airbrush, you know, so
yeah, like, yeah, I think one
looking
word.
Through the comments, we've kind of touched on everything that people have said.
Yeah. So thank you for your comments.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, and look out for the question on our profile coming soon.
Soon.
Well, actually, you'll probably already been asked by now.
Yeah.
I have been James Welsh from the internet.
And I have been Robert Welsh, who you know through James Welsh from the internet.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.